This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I don't think of myself as a victim being targeted and persecuted and lied about. I think of myself as successful. But at the same time, I want to be able to continue on our mission. So we're now into day four of the Connecticut second show trial, where the judge has found me guilty and actually issued orders to my lawyers last night. One came and physically met me, the other I talked to in Connecticut, saying you cannot say you're innocent and you cannot say a whole other list of stuff. So if I was an airman shot down in Vietnam and captured and put on TV, I could say I was innocent. But in America, they don't just find you guilty. They tell you, I'll hold you in contempt, put you in jail if you say you're innocent. Well, let me give the Connecticut folks a little preview. I'm going up there next week. I'm going to get on the stand. I'm going to say I'm innocent. You can lock my ass up. Because I'm not in Vietnam in a gulag. I'm in America, and that makes it 10 times more important. It's wrong what the North Vietnamese did to our troops and our airmen then. And what you're doing is far worse. You are disgusting. And you're in your own delusional world, and you're a fraud. They claim I pre-program everything and plan every article and every interview, and that I masterminded all this stuff. We gave them all the discovery, and they found us in default because we didn't give them stuff, though they show all this evidence cherry-picked out of context. All these plaintiffs suing me, I've never said their names. Don't even know who they are. Barely questioned Sandy Hook on the air. I question all these big events, whether it's Jesse Smollett or WBs in Iraq. But imagine saying you are sanctioned at the beginning of the defamation damages trial, already found guilty, not getting a real trial, but they're pretending to the jury it's an actual trial and to the world, but I'm guilty when I get there and I can't say I'm innocent. Everybody fundamentally knows that's a fraud. This isn't about Alex Jones. It's about you. Here's Barbara Bellis. Yesterday on the stand.
I'll make the following observation. This stunningly cavalier attitude with respect to their discovery obligations is what led to the default in the first place. The defendants have consistently engaged in dilatory and obstructive discovery practices from the inception of these cases right through to the trial. And finally, I will note there is no notice in this file to this minute of any supplemental compliance producing the Google Analytic documents, which is required by the practice book, but it was also required by my clear court order of September 30, 2021, which apparently was not followed here. So the motion is denied for these reasons, and the court hereby sanctions the defendants by precluding them from presenting evidence or argument that they did not profit from the Sandy Hook coverage.
So it's like saying, give me Google. Google's an interface. We didn't really use Google Analytics. We gave them 9 million emails they asked for, and they found like 5 examples where somebody looked at Google Analytics, which is on the dashboard of the control. I don't sit there and look at statistics. Has any of the crew ever seen me look at statistics in here? Do I sit around? No, I don't. Everybody knows that. So we say, yeah, we don't really look at it. Oh, we found 5 examples where some of your employees look at Google Analytics to see how big your website was. And then they order us to give it to them. So we go, what are the search terms 2 years ago? We go and search the terms, give them a 4,000-page report. She says, that's not all of it. All of Google? It's a search engine. You can't give them all of Google. All it is the back end of Google. So here she is saying, you didn't give any evidence, and so you are precluded from putting on a defense. And here's the latest stuff my lawyers told me. Can't say that we didn't profit from Sandy Hook, which we didn't profit from it. Sandy Hook was a small part of our coverage, which it was. Substantially complying with discovery, can't say that. Can't say the default's unfair. Can't say we're innocent. Can't say it's unfair, and can't say I don't run PQPR, that's my dad's company, which I don't even run it. He runs it. And I can't say opposing counsel is unfair. I've got to say I'm guilty and play their little North Korean game. This is the dying embers of a corrupt empire. These parasites are a joke. Pray for justice. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The best-selling book in America last week was The Great Reset and the War for the World, written by Alex Jones. Jones sold more than 56,000 copies of his book last week. But the New York Times lied about that because the New York Times doesn't want you to know that. The New York Times wants you to believe that Alex Jones is more discredited than the New York Times, the paper that started the Iraq War by lying about weapons of mass destruction and got a million people killed. So they lied about his book.
The Great Reset and the War for the World, the historic book that lays out the plans of the Great Reset Death Star and exposes the New World Order's plans for global enslavement. Get your copy now at Amazon.com to keep the book at number one and InfoWarsStore.com to help keep InfoWars on the air. The Great Reset and the War for the World by Alex Jones. Now number one in the world.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And in the wake of the passing of the Queen, I thought it would be very helpful and timely, also given the date, the anniversary of 9/11, to get into the history of imperial geopolitical motivations and subversion. What's the approach that empire has to how they run their colonies and their subjects? And by doing so, we will understand the motivation of the geopolitical minds behind the modern era, people behind the Cold War, people behind the War on Terror, and then where we're going now into the war on so-called viruses and invisible enemies. If we go back to Dr. Carol Quigley's book, The Anglo-American Establishment, he's basically laying out the structure and the approach of these elites in the West, what he calls the Anglo-American power block, to running the world, how they would subvert their main two rivals, the Austro-Hungarian Empire and Russia, to achieve global dominance. And out of that global dominance, how they would then bring about a world socialist Fabian Federation. Now, in the early stages of 20th century, late 1800s, 1900s, there were quite a few people in the British establishment who did not want this plan. They were not leftists. They were not socialists. They were not anything other than just traditionally minded British, who wanted the best for their people and what they saw was the British Empire's advantages for civilization and whatnot. However, they eventually fell sway to the influence of certain figures within the British establishment, sometimes called the Cliveden Set, the Astors, and by extension, Cecil Rhodes and the Rockefeller, the Rothschilds. This is the history of the British Empire. And how eventually the Bank of England essentially is a front for private banks. And the way that this model of governance works is the original, in the modern era, shadow government model. So in other words, you have these outer rings and circles that are academics and corporations and media moguls, et cetera. And then you have an inner core that they report back to. And there's an inner core that knows the real long-term plan. And in Quigley's book, amazingly, again, describing things around the turn of the century, you know, from 1890s into the 1900s, he lists the people that were involved in this at that time. Now, it's not exactly the same anymore. The British Empire doesn't exist. This is sort of the last waning phases of the British Empire. But when we look at this, we get a real insight into the skeletal structure and model for how the world government that's coming into power now is in continuity. It's the same plan. There's changes, there's new wars, new phases, right, as we go into this great reset. But ultimately, it's the same model based on the same ideas of Malthusianism, Fabianism, and technocracy. So you've heard me, of course, quote for a long time the writings of H.G. Wells, the writings of Bertrand Russell. And in both of their cases, they represented the Fabian Society, at least Russell, not so much as H.G. Wells. Russell was a Fabian for a while, and then he supposedly went out to do other things. But the Fabians represented this sort of left-wing idea of the establishment at that time. And again, remember that in my view, even according to mainline historians, the British Empire was really just sort of a front or frontispiece for this inner shadow government of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, Chatham House, et cetera, that have these rules where you can't speak publicly about the inner policies. And so this is called Chatham House Rules. And they named their society, the Royal Society and the Royal Institute for International Affairs, the Roundtable Groups. So this would be principally one of the key figures that we have to know about. Well, actually two. There's Lord Milner and John Ruskin. And Milner and Ruskin were favored socialism. But they understood that you probably couldn't convert everybody over to socialism or a centralized world socialist republic without taking a long time to do that. And this is where we get the idea of a slow implementation of a kind of Fabian socialism. That's the motto of the Fabians, is the turtle, you know, walking slowly. And many, many members of the British establishment, especially as we get closer to our day, are Fabians or closet Fabians. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who's not a Fabian is therefore a good guy, as if the monopoly capitalists or people like this are somehow exempted or the good guys. Really, they're two sides of the same coin, and this is a big thing that Professor Anthony Sutton stressed as we lectured through his famous book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, because Bolshevism was one of these early experiments in how to run imperial revolutionary tactics in other countries. So, for example, there's a phenomenal page that he has where he goes into the history of, we know exactly when Lord Milner got the Lloyd George government to support revolutionary socialism. And this was done via political compromise, via who knows what kinds of shady operations. But if in 1917, David Lloyd George, prime minister in the UK, flipped to support, at the behest of Lord Milner, Woodrow Wilson, who was working at the behest of Colonel Edwin Mandel House of the banking interests, to switch their support to the Bolsheviks. So this led to the U.S. government as well, under the Wilson administration and others, recognizing the Bolsheviks because they had a stake in the country being destroyed and then renovated. And then it became a resource war, right? So then it became a situation where Russia could be a Western asset, these corporations believe, through revolutionizing the country and then for corporate and banking interests, making Russia into an asset of the West. So you can see that it's not so much a government policy as it is these private inner corporate powers and banking powers use government as their shell, as their engine, as their front, to run these operations in these other threat countries or what they see as perceivable threats. So this is back in the days of the Great Game, the original Great Game, right? The British Empire seeing its two rivals being Germany and Russia. And so imperial geopolitics is really all about tricks, dirty tricks, subversion, warfare at every possible level and scale. And it's no different now. We still exist in that same kind of world because the world is organized on the basis of big power blocks, large-scale power blocks. And principally, we're talking about the power block of the Anglo-American establishment, which is now the Pax Americana. So these secret groups, these inner steering committees, royal societies, right, they're based on this idea of being the this is such a fantasy, right, of being the round table. Right. The Knights of the Round Table. Right. The wise men, the Knights of the Round Table, this kind of stuff. That's the terms that they use for their own governance policies. But really, these are just cutouts and fronts for very, very, very wealthy families and corporate interests. That's it. And so this is unfortunate, but this is really how imperial geopolitics works in the modern era. And we know that it's no different than the British Empire as it is today for the American Empire, because one of the great strategists, great in the sense of important, powerful, and influential, Zbigniew Brzezinski, in his book, The Grand Chessboard, he talks about, yes, of course, America is now a vast empire that has to, at all costs, engage in all kinds of black operations, proxy wars, et cetera, to make sure that no challenger to the Anglo-American power bloc rises. Now, you might think, well, isn't this just power politics? Why wouldn't we agree with Brzezinski that maybe that's how it should be? Maybe we should just engage in whatever is necessary so that, you know, we maintain our great standard of living. Well, you have to understand that the people that run our country are not interested in maintaining a standard of living. In fact, the really powerful interests in the West, the families is like the Rockefellers, for example, they were involved in for many years promoting the idea of industrialization and consumerism. And then now it flips after things like the Club of Rome and the First Green Revolution, the First Global Revolution, where they say that now we're going to decide that humans are the problem. Now you can't be a producing economy anymore. You can't be an industrial-based economy anymore. Now you are bad for your consumerism, you see. So now they've flipped it to where it's a guilt trip after the baby boom, after that generation, after the success of the post-war generations, the economic boom. Now it becomes a situation where you're guilty for that. And that's done by design. So it's a flip back and forth. And so it has nothing to do with the improving the lives of people in the West or maintaining some sort of free market. All it is about is phases in terms of rivals so that they can get to the end goal of the Great Reset, austerity, and destroying the economy in the West and by extension the world. That's the end goal, to bring in the new system. Intentional internal destruction to bring about the end goal. Don't go anywhere. This is.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
And I was just discussing the approach, modus operandi of imperial geopolitics and the attitude of the British Empire and how that transitioned into the Pax Americana. One of the lords in these circles was a guy named Lord Curzon, and him with some other lords, they had this idea. There was a book that was put out called The Commonwealth of God, the idea being that we could resurrect the idea of a world government through this idea of putting it into a democratic, free trade commonwealth. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that I'm against free trade but the problem is that these ideas can be weaponized. And in the sense of the British imperial policies, they would actually use free trade and economic liberalism as a power move, as a form of soft power, along with other techniques of soft power, as it would eventually be called. I think he's a Harvard strategist, Joseph Nye, wrote this famous paper some decades ago about soft power. And this is the idea of influencing and exercising influence in other countries and foreign policy through non-military means. It could be culture, it could be economy, it could be anything. And again, this is nothing new, but getting that term and getting that idea across is something that is crucial to understanding what we do in the West in terms of American foreign policy. So, there's a theorist who I don't agree with everything that he writes, but he did have a good analysis of where the American geopolitical imperial strategy comes from. And he links it back to the British Empire, as do Dr. Carol Quigley and Anthony Sutton and others, as well as Brzezinski himself. There's a book called Postmodern Imperialism by Eric Wahlberg. And Wahlberg has a great analysis of how the strategies of empire involve, first of all, internationalism, no commitment to actual groups of people on the ground, right? It's an overriding international concern that first and foremost starts with a form of weaponized free trade. This, number two, is followed by, and by the way, this free trade is actually something that is controlled. So it's not a real free trade. It's a free trade for select corporate interests, banking interests that actually run the host government, right? Next is that wars are conducted and done not for the basis of security or for the basis of self-defense, but they're actually done for the purpose of economic gain and for the purpose of restructuring and extending the empire's power and colonial basically advantage. That's it. Next is the exceptionalism principle that anybody within the states of the empire are actually exempted. Nobody's held accountable because the individuals, be they Americans, British, or whoever, they are really not accountable due to the fact that they're run by the shadow clique, and they're really cut off from the real power structure, right? I mean, in America, most Americans might have a little bit of awareness of an inner shadow group that runs the country, but most people, unfortunately, still think that the elected leaders are the ones really calling the shots, right? People think Joe Biden is really running the country and calling the shots, and really they're just front people. They do have a degree of power, but they're not the real power structure. And we know that they're not the real power structure because they don't really change or influence this overriding plan that's at least 100 plus years old that still marches forward, right? And we're actually going past 100 years, right? We're going back into the 1890s when Quigley talks about the power structure that runs empires, okay, that controls and has the say-so at the imperial level. And that really can't be grasped or understood if we don't understand secret inner core banking structures and how private families and private entities gain control of national banks, particularly the Bank of England and in the Bank of France. And that same model is what happened in the United States with the Federal Reserve System. And this is why at the time of World War One, it was so crucial. This was right after we had the passage of the Federal Reserve Act, right, that the creature from Jekyll Island. This leads to the creation of international banking structures formed on that same model and that same pattern. So the same model of what you have in the British Empire, what you have in France, and then what you eventually have, unfortunately, in the United States, the Federal Reserve System, and then these satellite Federal Reserve banks like the Federal Reserve of New York, which, according to Anthony Sutton, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York had a huge influence on the Bolshevik Revolution. Now, this is not accidental. So what we're starting to see is this pattern of the revolutions that are being conducted in the 1800s and 1900s, the 20th century, are really private banking corporate revolution. And they are geared towards an end goal that many independent researchers have come to that conclusion of a worldwide international socialist capitalist technocracy. It's a myth. Okay, so it's a third way blended system. And this is precisely why the central bank of central banks, the Bank for International Settlements, is something that most people don't know about. So we argue all day long about all these politicians and all this stuff, but nobody knows that much about the Bank for International Settlements, which Quigley identifies as the central bank of all central banks. And according to Wahlberg, that is the IMF and the BIS that really are calling the shots in terms of the global economy. Now, and again, I'm not saying that they control everything. They don't control the whole world. They don't control every single thing. But they did have the influential power such that they could essentially organize and structure World War One and World War Two and the Cold War. And this is why, in order to understand the British today's empire, we have to understand the British Empire. So basically, just think about what you're seeing there, that picture of the Bank for International Settlements. That's basically the Federal Reserve of the world. That's all you have to know. That's how this works. That's how this is structured. And so when we look at these different scandals that have occurred at different times in history, when we think about, for example, false flags that set off world wars or set off Cold Wars or set off the Gulf of Tonkin, whatever it is, Gulf of Tonkin, these kinds of things, we find in so many cases engineered secret society groups behind these events. They're not organic, happenstance, crazy, just out of nowhere things. In fact, wars are planned years and years ahead of time. People don't know this. People think, oh, it's just a reaction to a random event that happened. No. Wars are planned years in advance. That's why H.G. Wells could talk about World War II and what was coming with tremendous accuracy years before World War II happened. Right? I think he wrote Things to Come several years before World War II. And he describes in many cases a lot of accurate things that occurred in World War II. I think he was off by a couple of years, but it still was an accurate description of World War II. So when we think about the imperial global strategy of the British Empire, again, remember that the same power structure is who's running and co-opting the American government at the time of World War I and World War II, eventually and most powerfully at the time of World War II, to get it back into global policing. Remember, the attitude of the Founding Fathers was non-interventionism and not getting entangled in European wars. And what do we have with the creation of the Royal Society, Milner's Kindergarten, all of these roundtable groups was the intent plan to bring America back under the sway of the British Empire. Now, the British Empire is not anything other than a cutout for what I'm talking about, this inner shadow group. And so they succeeded in doing that by using a bunch of British spies, tricks, dirty tricks, techniques, and tactics to get America from the time of World War I, World War II, back into and under the umbrella aegis of this shadow power structure. And it's not just British people. It's not just America. It's very elite, powerful families in both of these countries, you see, that are behind this shadow government. It's that easy. It's that simple. And they run it through banking and corporate power. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jason Ellis.
It's the fourth coin that we've released in the last year, and I believe the most powerful, the man in the arena coin, Teddy Roosevelt. Citizen of a republic, the man in the arena. There's only 10,000 of this coin in existence in the world. It will never be made again. It's not just an amazing historic coin. It funds the information war against the globalist. This is something you want to hand down to your grandchildren. This is something you want to own. And as a fundraiser, it is funding the information war against the globalist. Ladies and gentlemen, 10,000 coins are available. They'll sell out very quickly. Please be part of history. And thank you all for your support. You can go to 1776coin.com or you can go to patriotcollectibles.com and secure this coin. There's only 10,000 of this coin in existence, and it funds the info war. Man in the Arena coin, Teddy Roosevelt, 1776coin.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history. Physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's BETTER to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's BETTER to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and I was just calling attention to the Imperial British strategy that they had to bring America and its colonies back under their influence and support. And we know about this, again, from multiple books and mainline historical records that have been written. One of those was the book called The Irregulars, which talks about, as I pointed out many times in the past, the British spies that were sent over at the behest of the British power structure to get these people in America, these unruly Americans, to set up the same types of secret roundtable groups that have been set up in the UK, right? So we had in New York these different steering committees and structures that were set up, the Council on Foreign Relations, Pratt House. These are all modeled on the roundtable models that we've seen in Quigley's discussion of the British establishment. And so, as I mentioned, Milliner's Kindergarten was one of these recruiting strategies and ways to bring people into these groups to teach them world socialism, imperial socialism. And he'll say these things. Lord Quigley quotes Milner as saying, well, there's bad socialism, but there's this good imperial world socialism that we'll bring about. And he even talks about that democracy would be a cloak for this, you see. So democracy, free markets, the good of the people, all the humanitarian cover that is used originates also in the British imperial strategy. And so the commonwealths, as they're called, or the Queen's Commonwealth, these kinds of things, those aren't actually democratic states. They're states that have a front of democracy that are actually controlled by the same elite power structure that's been there for the whole time, right? So that's what they wanted to do in America, was have that same covert government that they had in the UK, and unfortunately they were successful. The irregulars who came over, again, not just Roald Dahl, but also William Stevenson, Noel Coward, Ian Fleming, they all helped influence and convince the American power structure to set up this same covert national security deep state government that was existing in the UK. And this is why we've had no real change in any kind of policies for the last, 70, 80, Quigley even says 100 years. And he was writing that back in the 60s. So this is why it's so difficult to, quote, drain the swamp or to change things, is because this structure is so deeply embedded and has been for so long, this national security covert deep inner core government, right, which there's kind of a layer of spies and espionage people who then protect and cover the inner group of the wealthiest families. So it's a very difficult egg to crack, you see, because it has these concentric rings. And if everybody remembers in the Trump administration, for example, when he talked about draining the swamp, and then what did the spy chiefs and the people from the espionage world? Oh, well, they have a thousand and one ways to get back at you if you try to go against that. And it's structured this way on purpose, you see. And unfortunately, they can just cook up any myriad of made up, totally fake things, PP Gate, all this kind of stuff, Russia collusion. It's all made up, but the public doesn't know that this is how the world is actually structured and runs, and so they just unfortunately fall for whatever the mainstream media says. But over and over and over, we constantly see everything that the, quote, conspiracy theorists are saying vindicated. And there have been conspiracy researchers for decades and decades pointing this out. John Coleman's book, Committee of 300, he talked about all these same things. And it wasn't because they theorized this out of their butt. They didn't just get this out of the ether, make it up. It's because all of these establishment books say this stuff. It's mainline history. And that's why when I was studying this stuff in undergrad and grad school, I was astounded to see that all of this was just out there in the mainstream book, not even really hidden. And I think the people from the establishment view it like, well, that's just the way it is, right? I mean, the British Empire's modus operandi was Malthusianism. And that's why it's an austerity great reset. When you hear Prince Charles up there saying the same things as Klaus, because he was formative in the creation of the World Economic Forum, because he's always tied himself to these environmental movements, it's because they believe in a form of Darwinian social Darwinism and austerity, Malthusianism, right? They believe that there's a hierarchy of beings that exists, and if you haven't evolved to be a global controller with a lot of money and power, then you deserve to die because you didn't survive that. You weren't evolutionary. You weren't fit to survive. So there's nothing wrong with getting rid of you because they are the priests of power, according to their own terminology. But this is all based on a faulty worldview, right? It's that's only true insofar as the worldview is true, right? And if pragmatic empiricism and Darwinism aren't actually true, then that's not going to work. You can't just kill everybody and think that you're going to have a bright future. And that's why, oddly enough, these people believe in a weird cult, right? The transhumanist idea is some kind of weird cult where they think they're going to live forever in computers, or that silicon-based life forms are going to somehow give them a form of... But they really do believe this, and they've written many, many books about that. And it doesn't matter how philosophically incoherent, absurd it is, they still believe it because guess what? It's a religious attachment, right? what most people don't realize is that everybody's worldview, everybody's belief systems are at some level faith-based. You have to have some kind of element of trust. What are you putting your trust in? Well, for these people, they're putting their trust in science or scientism as if it's some kind of God, when actually all science is an instrument. It's just a tool. A tool can't be the grand narrative explanation of everything. It can't be God. It's just a tool. So they're going way beyond the bounds of science, and they don't even realize it, to adopt a kind of religion. And if you do, if you doubt that, just look at everybody's attitude who was a normie blue pill person for the last 3 years, since 2020, 2019. How did they treat the decrees of the CDC and the UN and the WHO? As if it was religious decrees from Mount Olympus. The mass became a kind of sacrament. The vaccines are a kind of sacrament. And all of us who criticized and warned about this have now been vindicated. All these blood of studies coming out this last week that Alex has covered. We've been vindicated. Not because we, quote, doubt science, but because we know the power of corporate influence in large-scale big science or scientism. That's what we were concerned with. Nobody was doubting science. That was just a propaganda technique that the establishment was using. Oh, you're a science denier. So that doesn't even make any sense. A science denier? I mean, anybody who uses a calculator to, you know, balance their checkbook is using scientific principles. Anybody who works in engineering, right, uses the scientific method to do engineering. So it doesn't even make any sense. It's all propaganda. It's all politicized science, which isn't even science. But remember, the same people who are saying this are saying that men can have babies and that you can become a woman, which is just completely impossible and irrational. But it's that way also on purpose to get people to accept contradictions. That was the whole point of what Orwell was writing about. But another important thing that people have missed in Orwell is that as a person, and Alex has talked about this for years, as a person who was in the establishment from the left perspective and also saw things on the right-wing perspective, what was the real point of 1984 and a lot of what he talked about? His point was that the left movement, the things that you think are anti-establishment, that are counterculture, most of the time, those are controlled opposition. That was the key point. And this is a key point that I'm trying to get you to understand that is so crucial that Dr. Sutton said back in the 70s when he wrote Wall Street and the Bullshit Revolution, he said, when I read Dr. Quigley, I had to realize that it was time to set aside that classic left-right dialectic of American politics and modern liberalism and conservatism. He said, because I realized that it's not a battle of Marxism versus capitalism. He says, if you believe that the battle was really just Marxist versus capitalist, he says that is a Marxist attitude. So you're actually buying into the Marxist attitude if you believe that everything is about oppressor-oppressed narrative, right? Capitalist versus Marxist. He says not what actually was the case was Marxism and socialism are tools of very, very powerful, wealthy people. And they are cognizant of that. There are people that are in the know about that. In fact, in my mainline history class, my mainline Marxism classes in college, my professor, he wasn't a conspiracy theorist at all. He said Marx couldn't have done anything without the wealthy stock owners like Engels behind him. Why would wealthy people be behind Marxism? Do you think that they're all stupid? Don't go anywhere, Wes.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow Whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The British Empire, its techniques and tactics of espionage and subversion, and certain players and characters that are crucial to understanding this narrative of the 20th century, and particularly where we're going in the Great Reset. And there's a great page in Sutton's book where he gets into Lord Milner, who told the British government to have a dual policy, particularly the Lloyd George government. If you remember, when we covered Dr. Carol Quigley, that dual policy also applied to Tiny Mustache Man, right? The British had a dual policy because, according to Quigley, they wanted to goad Hitler into trying to take Poland and trying to take these countries because they eventually had a war plan. So they gave a dual policy, that one that was public disapproval but private approval. Well, guess what? There was a dual policy from Lord Milner to the Bolsheviks. And what's amazing is that when we get deep into a lot of these famous British spy biographies, they actually divulge a lot of this. We actually find out that, well, something else seems to be going on here as opposed to what the public story is, right, of the Western opposition to communism and this kind of stuff. There seems to be something more at stake here that kicks off what will later be the Cold War. And so Milner has this famous character that he sends, who is the British intelligence liaison to the Bolsheviks. His name is Bruce Lockhart, famous British spy, and he was part of that dual policy. And because the British power structure couldn't openly say that they supported socialism, they had a private inner party like Milner and others working together with Rothschild, who sent Lockhart to be the secret go-between to say, hey, by the way, we actually support you guys, Lenin, Trotsky, etc. Now, there's a couple of characters who eventually got detained. One of them was a revolutionary who I think was an anarcho-communist. So he fell afoul of Trotsky and Lenin and these characters. His name was Maxim Gorky. And when Gorky was caught and interrogated, I think this is in Russia, he said, well, what I've discovered is that the revolution, the Bolshevik revolution, is actually, quote, a giant science experiment. Now, that's interesting because we find other British establishment people also calling the Russian Revolution a, quote, science experiment. It was Bertrand Russell and H.G. Wells. It's fascinating that we find this plethora of characters saying that it's a science experiment from very different worlds, very different ideologies. But we're finding commonalities, which to me suggests that people were actually stumbling upon what was really going on a long time ago, and they couldn't really make sense of it. They couldn't make sense of how it's the case that the Western power structure elites would actually be supporting what is supposed to be the very opposite of their whole ideology. And we have to, I think, for some of these people, right, they were bound by their time and by their limitations. They didn't have the internet. They didn't even have access to even necessarily the libraries that we have today. So, you know, they just couldn't figure a lot of this stuff out. And there's another a case study of this, which is, again, somewhat theoretical. We don't know if this is 100% sure, but it does ring true given what we've seen, what we've learned since then in a lot of these things that have come out. And it's called the Red Symphony, which is a famous interrogation of a guy who was caught under the Stalin government as an operative, I think, of Trotsky. And if you know the history, of course, Trotsky fell afoul of Stalin, and Stalin ended up going after Trotsky. And this is a guy named C.G. Rakovsky. And if you're looking for this, it's called The Red Symphony. It's actually it's in the public domain, and it's in quite a few different works. I have a copy of it in a book. I don't agree with everything in this book, but it just happens to have a copy of this interrogation. It's called Fourth Reich of the Rich. And it's also about this principle of world socialism, fascism, etc., communism, Marxism being supported by the wealthiest people in the West. And this interrogation is fascinating because there's the Stalinists are interrogating this guy, and then they come to find out this guy says, well, I'm actually working for very rich people in the West. And they're kind of taken aback by this. What do you mean? He says, well, there's a lot of powerful interests that I support, or excuse me, that I'm actually working for. And they have a long-term goal, he says, of world socialist technocratic control. And guess what? It's the same thing that comes up in this. So there seems to be this curious pattern of, again, over and over and over. Again, this is a speculative thing. We don't know if that's for sure. But what we do know is that when we read people like Lockhart, the memoirs of a British agent, he was the liaison between the elite imperial socialists who supported the Bolsheviks. We find continually this pattern of supporting these kinds of movements. Now, that doesn't mean everybody, right? Not everybody in the British power structure, for example, was party to this or knew this. People at the government level, they typically didn't know this. But it would be people in the establishment, in the spy establishment, in the security establishment, and these inner party people that Quigley describes, he calls them the inner party, the society of the elect. They knew this bigger plan, this bigger strategy. Because they were not working for public officials. They were working for private interests, private families, old money, banking families, nobility, etc., all a party to this inner structure. And this helps explain, a lot of people get confused over, well, how do we have people like Prince Bernhard, who was an SS, working with, right, people at Bilderberg, World Economic Forum, etc., these people who were national socialists. That doesn't make sense with working with people from the West who are opposed to national socialism. Well, just look up Otto Skorzeny, look up the Reinhard Gehlen Network, and you'll find that at that level, it really doesn't matter what the ideologies are. At that level, it's a supra-ideological power structure
And they don't really care about the operating systems and the experiments in history. Those have come and gone. Now we're in a new phase where the war on terror has given way now to the next phase. Isn't it interesting, by the way, did you notice the war on terror just kind of went away? Where did the Muslim terrorists just like conveniently and politely take a break from doing anything during the COVID? That was very nice of them to just take a nice little break from any sort of global terror. Now, remember, we had post 9/11 years and years of war on terror. And they said, didn't John McCain say war on terror is never ending, will never end. War on terror is forever. It's forever. 100-year war. That's been forgotten. Now we're in the war on viruses for a global health pandemic. You see how quickly the script changed? The invisible enemy of, in fact, they even use the same terminology, the invisible enemy of terror, which we'll never, we can't see them. They're everywhere. It's invisible. We got to track and trace everything to save you from terror. Now it's, we got to track and trace everything to save you from the invisible enemy, the virus. It's the exact same propaganda, just flipped to the new fabled enemy of the CUFID and the virus. And really all of those ends were achieved in terms of the transition on a mass scale in those 2 years of the lockdowns to move us into technocracy. Remember the lockstep document said, not in lockstep, but in one of the other, the green scenario, the smart scenario, is that there would be a transition to more and more automation and more of a green austerity agenda. This austerity agenda is the exact same agenda of British Malthusian policy. The idea that you have to shut down everything for the earth. Climate lockdowns. That's the new thing that they're going to say. They are moving now into shutting down of the fuels. It's not even fossil fuel. It's not fossil. Fossil fuels. You actually think oil is ground up dinosaur bones? Come on. Not what oil is. I don't know what oil is, but I know it's not that. That's dumb. Whatever it is, it's not killing the planet. That's all cover to shut down the economy. And people don't understand that international supra corporate supranational entities, what I'm talking about, this inner core of austerity people, World Economic Forum, they don't care about profit, not about making money. That's why these companies are enacting all these policies that don't make them money. They have a plan to destroy the existing order, destroy it from within. This is actually that's part of military strategy, to intentionally destroy your own thing at times so that you can have the justification to bring in the new thing. That's exactly what that guy from, I think, the CDC said before the COVID. So we need to just blow up the existing medical system to bring in the new system. That's what this is. There's an intended destruction of the economy to bring in the new system. What is the new system? Circular economy. You own nothing. You share your whitey-toddies with everybody else in your neighborhood. You don't get to buy gas to drive down the road because you hurt the planet. So they're right now they're rolling out the very thing that they said. You will not drive cars. You will, they said years ago they would start getting rid of cars. And it's nothing to do with the environment. It's everything to do with control and shutting down the existing system to bring in the technocratic control, which these socialist Bolshevik people said they wanted 100 years ago. And the socialist Bolshevik people work for the wealthiest people on the planet. That's the world that we live in now, and it was the same 100 years ago. You want to get my books, go to jasonalysis.com. Go to the shop. You get signed copies of all my books. And there's a new book out that's about 600 pages. Also, go to the InfoWar store and support Alex. Get the Great Reset. Get all of Alex's.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.